Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wagner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
This week, we've got another great show. In addition to the news, which we'll cover as always, we're going to take a look at some new NuGet packages for Windows Azure and Windows Phone, specifically this time covering storage. And then we're going to end it with a great tip. So,
what more could you ask for?
Not much.
No. All right. What do we have in the news?
Let's get started.
We got this. This is cool.
This is cool.
Brad Calder, who we have not... Oh, we did... There was, if you really look back in the archives, you have to go down and back into like a back
room.
And if you get those Cloud Cover episodes, you'll find a very early one where we interviewed him at a conference for like a couple minutes.
Oh, I remember this. Yes.
Yeah,
was this
way
Mix?
Back when.
This was Mix, right?
Yeah, and this is the only time I think we had Brad on the show.
Yeah.
But Brad runs the storage team, all the development of the storage platform
engineer.
In Windows Azure. Yeah, that's right. He's a distinguished engineer at Microsoft. Great guy, and he's an academic by background, and so it's in his nature to do what he did here, which is to write an academic paper about Windows Azure Storage that goes into a lot of sort of what's underneath in the platform and how it's built, and some stuff about the CAP theorem. If you recognize what that is, then you'd probably be interested in reading that.
No idea.
If not, it's an interesting concept. So go check it out. But this was at SOSP, the Symposium on Operating Systems Principles. Brad went there and had a paper in there. Now you figured out what
CAP is.
I know
what CAP stands for now.
There you go.
Consistency, availability, and partition tolerance.
Yes.
I remember that to impress people.
Yeah, good. You do have to, so you can just rattle it off. Yeah. Anyway, so it's very deep. It's fairly long, as I recall. I haven't even read the whole thing yet. It's a good paper, though. I do encourage people who are really interested in that stuff. Go geek out on it, download it, print it out.
Yeah.
Sit on your porch
with
a glass of lemonade and read it.
Yep, it looks great.
This is the recommended serving instructions.
Cool.
Okay.
Excellent. BSI e-certificate download.
Yeah. So, the theme of this show is PDFs.
Yes. So here's another PDF we're going to show you. But this one's actually pretty cool. So
the other one was cool too.
It was cool.
Don't say it like
I'm
that.
Sorry.
It sounds like.
But I wanted. Okay.
Okay.
So this is also
this
cool.
Is.
Basically. Let's click this one and open up this PDF as well. So, we've covered in the past some certifications that the platform has. This is basically recognizing that recently we've received the ISO IEC 27001:2005 certification.
Yes.
So I think that's pretty neat.
It is.
I think you've printed this out and put it up on your wall in your office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Framed it.
I did. I framed it.
Yeah.
Just so that I could show it to people.
So this is nice.
This is cool. More stuff like this to come. I mean, certification is one of these is a process.
Yeah, it
takes a lot of time. It sometimes takes a lot of work. Sometimes not that much work. It depends on the kind of certification and what we're already doing and whatever. But it's a complicated thing. There are a bunch of certifications that you might ask about and might think are interesting. We're probably looking at them.
Yeah.
We're looking at sort of a wide range. And it's just a question of when we can do which ones, which are more important. Feedback is always welcome on that stuff.
Yep.
This has sort of been ongoing processes for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see ISO 27001 come in for the platform. So
Looks great.
Very cool. And it's all official, and it's got like a signature and stuff. I like it.
Yeah. By the way, too, I don't know that Steve knew this as well, but Foxit Reader is a great PDF reader.
So
If you wanted to go with an alternative one, it's lightweight. Just thought I would point that out. So a little plug for Foxit.
That's the tip of the week.
next is recently was published a number of webcast series covering the SQL Azure Data Sync. So I think it was three. So an overview of Data Sync service, enterprise to cloud data synchronization, and then finally cloud to cloud data synchronization. So covering SQL Azure to SQL Azure, as well as the on-premises like SQL Server and Structure 2 SQL Azure. So
and these are the first three. There are more. This is a series that's going to continue.
Yep.
So
more webcasts to be published over time.
That's how I knew that.
Yeah.
So keep watching. So even if you already checked these ones out, or if you go look at these.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're on Channel 9. So you may have seen them surface up through Channel 9 as well, and they'll be there again in the future. So that's great. So take a look at those. And then last, the marketplace data market.
Yeah, so just a couple new new data sets that are in Windows Azure Marketplace, and those are the weather data and stock data. So worldwide historical weather data and the stock sonar.
You know, I got to let Wenming know about this, because he actually claims that with all his HPC servers running up in Windows Azure, that he can predict the weather more accurately than NASA. I bet you he could use some data here to make it even better. So.
Or not. Maybe this is what NASA uses, and that's why their predictions are so bad.
Yeah, could be.
But this is cool. I thought we'd mention it, because it's just there's a lot of data out there. There are a bunch of different data sets. Sometimes if you don't go back and look at them, you don't realize sort of how things are getting added, and so it's nice to just kind of weather and stock are ones that people are frequently looking for.
Yep.
This is a good place to get them now, and so if you haven't before, this is maybe a reason to check out the data in the marketplace and get that going.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, so let's do some nuggety, storagey, phony stuff.
Yeah, so on the show where Ryan Dunn came back and substituted in your absence, we went through some new NuGet packages that we've been providing for the phone and Windows Azure scenarios. And it's all related to the Windows Azure toolkits for Windows Phone that we've been building. But, you know, based on the toolkit as it exists, there's a lot of stuff that we've put into our samples and projects, and people have said, and rightly so, sometimes it's hard to get that out. You know, I just want to support push notifications. I just want to get access to storage. And it's sometimes harder to decompose these fairly complex samples, and wanted a more, you know, kind of straightforward way to go about doing this. And so we've been building out NuGet packages that make it, you know, really easy just to do one thing well and one thing simply. And NuGet also is a great way not just for delivering these things, but for managing these dependencies over time. So we've been putting a lot of effort into this. People seem to like it. I mean, I've gotten more response recently from the NuGets than I'd seen recently in the toolkits itself.
Yeah. Well, they're easier to consume. I mean, you can just take the one little piece that you need. It's easy to add it to an existing thing. So I have a feeling more people are trying it than tried it before, and so that's good.
And the one thing that we hadn't yet released was support for storage. And so we've been working on that. And so today I wanted to show some of this. We're going to be publishing it this week, actually before the show airs. So by the time you see this, you'll be able to take advantage of this as well.
Cool.
So essentially, let me get this set up here. So I'm going to start from a file new project, because I think it helps to reinforce, you know, that this can just be folded into a brand new project. It's also pretty easy to take an existing application you've built and just add some of the support directly in there. Just inject support for storage or push notifications and the like. And so I'm going to create a brand new Silverlight phone application targeting Mango. And the very first thing I'm going to do is install the phone.storage NuGet package. And essentially, and I'll show you what it delivers, but it essentially delivers a library that we've built that gives you the same sort of programming experience that you get, you know, with the Windows Azure storage library, so the client libraries for Windows Azure storage, same experience on the phone. So that, you know, if you're used to working with Windows Azure storage just in a web app in traditional Windows Azure development, the programming API and model is exactly the same. So you don't have to learn a new way to do it. So it's pretty easy to get started. I'm just going to type install package and then phone.storage. And one of the things that's also really nice about NuGet is it chains all the dependencies. So everything I need to get going is essentially delivered into the application for me. What's also pretty nice about it is you can deliver some nice documentation as well. So a lot of what I'm going to be covering today, we've also captured in some of the documentation, so you can refer back to it. But what this has done is a couple of things. First is it's delivered a set of assemblies here. So you'll see we have a Silverlight activator, which is very similar to the web activator, but helps with in Silverlight projects for the phone. We deliver the data.services.client that's going to be used as part of accessing storage, and some other resources as well, like phone.storage and the like. So these are the libraries that come with the NuGet package that that are going to give us a hand. What we've also got is this storage initializer, and I'll talk about this for a moment. If you think about starting to build out your phone application, there's a number of ways in which you can interact with Windows Azure Storage. You could interact directly against storage, which means that you essentially have the keys on the device, and when you make a request, you're going directly against the storage service. And the APIs support that. What we built supports that model. And we did this because it's straightforward from a development perspective. It's sometimes a lot easier to just start going directly against storage and then later refactoring it to hit, you know, some sort of a proxy or something. And so by default, when you grab the NuGet, we have this concept of a resolver, which resolves how you want to interact with storage. And the default experience actually is to use the development storage account resolver, which means that from a local development perspective, I'm just going to use my storage emulator. And this is really nice. It just means that I can get going. I've got the SDK and the tools and everything's installed locally. Pretty easy to go. Yep. At some point, though, I might want to start interacting with my actual Windows Azure storage service and actually go out to my you know, the actual account rather than hitting storage. And so we've included here in the comments, just to make it kind of easy, another resolver, which lets me then specify my storage account name, the key, and then the URIs that I'd use to address the storage services. And so I can just flip over to that, and then, again, I'm going directly from the phone to the storage service. However, when you go to deploy, and I think we've talked about this quite a bit, at least I have at various conferences and the like, is this is not a very secure model. I mean, when you go to deploy your application, you do not want your storage account key on the device. It's not going to stay secure. There's going to be ways that someone could, if they wanted to, you know, get that key, and then you know, your account has been compromised. And so the method to deal with this is proxying all those requests through a service. And so what we've done is also provided a set of services and NuGet packages that you can use to proxy all those requests so that your storage account key stays in your service and not on the phone device. Now, that's quite a bit, and you know, hopefully that's easy to digest. The reason I bring this up now is I want to highlight the fact that from the development experience and interacting with the APIs, it doesn't matter which resolver I use. It's a consistent experience. I work against tables, blobs, queues, and I can change the resolver at some other point in the future. And so I'll demonstrate this in a moment.
If I just wanted to start here and I haven't built a service yet, I haven't created a project for that yet, I can just use the development storage thing and all my code will still work.
Correct.
Just need to go edit this later.
Exactly. And that's what I'm going to show you. So I'll start at that point. So I'm going to go to the main page and let's go to, this resolution is small. All right. That's the problem with having a very large desktop screen, is you get used to all that real estate. I'm going to go ahead and just add a button. And this button I'm just going to call Add to Queue. And so essentially what I'm going to do is when I click the button, I just want it to add some kind of an at work item, a message to a Windows Azure queue. And let's take a look at what this would be. So let's see. So what did I call it? Storage? No. Phone storage queue. I made some snippets today because there's quite a bit of code that I'm going to walk through, and I'm not going to get it all right. So essentially, let me add some of the references here as well so that all of this works. But
control dot, does everybody know that?
Oh, control
dot.
That's what you just hit. Control dot is a great way to get your using statements there.
Two tips so far, tip of the weeks.
Yeah, a lot of tips here.
Tips of the week. Then it
tips
two
of
tips
week.
Of the week.
So hopefully this looks pretty similar. There's a couple of differences. Like when you take a look at the queue client that I'm creating here, I'm using the resolver off of the cloud storage context, and that's basically how we're able to very easily change how we're resolving storage. You know, going directly to the dev environment, to the production account, or to our services. And so the resolver, you know, essentially is creating the queue client. And then, you know, we're going to get a reference name, so queue name. We're going to create that. And then one of the reasons you'll see this working, everything in a Silverlight application is done asynchronously. So essentially, it might look a little bit different from the way that you go about writing it in your web service or your web application, but pretty much the same. So you can see here I'm now creating a new queue message. You know, I'm basically encoding it UTF-8. I got a message in there, and it's going to write it to a queue. So why don't we go ahead and just build this real quick and run it. And make sure that storage emulator is running. Wow, that's quite large. Let's make this 66. All right. So now I also want to show that when I add this to the queue, that it's actually adding it. So I'm grabbing, I've got the Azure Storage Explorer that Nudesic is built, and I'm at my storage account. You'll see right now I don't have anything in queues. I'm just going to, you know, quickly say add to queue. Refresh, you'll see here's the queue name, and then here's the message. So, I mean, very, very simple, not a whole lot there, you know, not a lot of code that we have to write, and, you know, able to write directly to a queue.
So I think
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let me do a couple of other things here as well. I'm going to add to tables, so we'll quickly see how we can do that. Let's grab another button. We'll call this add to table. And then what did I call it again? Phone storage table. So here's the code for this now. It, again, very similar to what you'd see on the within a traditional service. We create our table client. I've defined a table name, sample data. We're going to create it if it not exists, specify the name. And then here here's where we get the resolver again to the table storage context. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to create basically a sample, some sample data and attach to it. Now, I need to make sure that it's an appropriate entity type, just like we do within Windows Azure with storage. So what I'm going to do here is, let's see, phone
table. TSTSD.
TSTSD. All right, thank you. So basically what I've got here is some sample data, a class called sample data that inherits from table server or implements the table service entity. And so that way, we get support for, you know, the partition keys, the row key, all that kind of stuff.
Timestamp is in there. And
Yep. So again, hopefully nothing surprising for anyone here. And it's pretty simple, this one. I've just got a name associated to it. So you can see up here, when I create the new piece of sample data, I'm just going to specify a name, John Doe. And then essentially we're going to add that and save it to the table. So let's go ahead and compile this and run it. And if I come here to tables, we'll see that I don't have a table. We'll add to table, refresh, sample data, query, and then there's our table, John Doe. So again, pretty easy way to add an object into table storage. Finally, blobs. Let's take a look at blobs. So if I add another button here, see how good I am at UI development.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Add to blob. Do the same sort of thing. So
PSB.
I know, it's very...
I figured out the pattern.
Get the memory stream. So essentially what we're doing here is, again, creating a container, and we're going to add something into it. You can see here now I'm creating a memory stream just so that I can, you know, add something very simple like sample content, and we're going to upload that stream into storage. So we will run this, take a look at blobs, and add the blob. And there it is. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, I want to emphasize how the resolver works. So I've been showing you against dev storage. Now let's switch it over to an actual account. So if I come back to the resolver. All right, so now what I'm going to do is come back in here and adjust the resolver. So instead of pointing to the development storage account, it's going to point to my actual Windows Azure storage account. So just comment this and then update this here. Now, one of the reasons this is nice is there are some differences between how the local storage emulator works and production storage. So even if from a development perspective, it's sometimes nice to validate against the production account.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, I would not use this in production, but I have a storage account named PurgeMe, and my secondary index is this, so I will be resetting that. So no use trying to hit it. Although I think I usually say that, and then I forget
and
to
then
actually
you forget to do it. So,
reset
yeah.
it.
So if you want free storage.
All right. So we've got that. So that's all we've changed. We didn't change any other code. Let's go ahead and run this. And then here, we'll refresh, just make sure. Let's add to queue, add to table, add to blob, and then refresh. See, here's our item in the queue, in the blob. Refresh, and we've got our item in the queue, and then go to tables, refresh, here's our table, and here's our item. So pretty easy way to flip it.
Yep.
Now, so that's going directly against storage. Now, what we've been talking a lot about is making sure to proxy it so that you keep these keys
yep.
secure. So before I flip this over to a service, let me just go ahead and create a new project. So new project, cloud, Windows Azure. I grab an MVC3 web role. That's great. And we've got another NuGet package that will essentially give you all of the services needed in order to handle the proxying of the request to storage. And it's worth pointing out that for the blobs, we're not proxying blobs through the service, but we're using, you may not have caught it, but if you take a look at the in the storage initializer, we actually have a SAS service instead of a blob service. And that's because what it's doing is actually generating the shared access signature, passing it back to the phone so that we can address the storage service directly. All right, so I've got my MVC application, and come back here to NuGet, switch this to MVC, and then install package Windows Azure.storage. So that'll this now will basically set up everything we need on the service side. And once it's done, I will show you that we have a similar activation model for the storage service, and I'll point out what we need to work with. Again, nice documentation. I think it's nice anyways. Highlighting how to work with it. And then here you'll see we have the storage services. Similar to before, you can specify what the cloud storage account is. So by default, we're going to point to dev storage. You can use parse, and you could specify your string. Of course, you could also, this is just standard stuff.
Right.
This is anything new. We could say from configuration setting, et cetera. I believe I've got it set up to point to the purge me service. So when I use these services, it's going to actually proxy it to my production account. And then lastly, if I come back to my storage initializer here, what I'm going to do is change the resolver one last time, build, and now run F5, run everything. So basically now we'll start up our web role, and the phone will now hit the services in the web role, and the web role will appropriately handle everything in proxy for us. So it's really the UI. There's really nothing to see here. Let's pull this guy up, open up our phone app, and let's just add to the table real quick. If we refresh,
do the query.
Oh, query. Thanks. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I don't use this tool all the time.
Yep.
So now we've got two keys there. Come here to queues. We've got one. Let's add a queue item. There we go. And the blob. Let me just go to blobs, and I'll delete this guy somehow. And then add to blob. So,
is there some easy way to prove this is really happening the way you say? Can we set a breakpoint in the in one of the methods in the service? Are we just going to ask people to take our word for it that it is hitting the service? I believe you.
Yeah. So right
but
now,
there's some people
setting
who watch
a breakpoint.
Show.
So one of the things about NuGet is we're not pulling the source code down; it's the assembly. So.
The service is in the library. Okay,
so
fine.
I can't necessarily add it. However, we are publishing all the source. So, by all means, if you just want to grab the source, update your solution,
yeah,
add
so
the project
then
you can
debug.
Debug. In fact, I think that's one of the values of the approach we're taking is we'll give you the finished NuGet. You can grab the source if you want to tweak it. In fact, someone just recently asked me about this because I'm trying to remember in some of the login controls we provide for ACS, we have a sample set of text there, like login, colon, or I don't know. They wanted to tweak that, but if you grab the NuGet, that stuff's actually in a control that's in the library, so we didn't expose that as a settable property, but the source will open that up. So,
cool.
I guess I could have had it prepped ahead of time, but I didn't think about
we'll just believe
you. Take my word for it. So
until you violate our trust, we're just going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
So, yeah. Now there's some more here. I'll have a blog post on all this. I'm not going to go through it now, but you'll note that we've got these services set up right now, but they're completely they're open. There's no authentications wrapping them at all.
Yeah.
And so we've also got phone.storage.acs and phone.storage.membership. That'll work both from the phone, and then we've got Windows Azure.storage.acs and .membership, so that you can secure those storage endpoints so that when the phone makes the request, they have to pass in a token that is then validated and basically authenticates them to the service. So, and those are just NuGet packages that you can run. ACS has obviously a few things that you need to set and configure. Ryan and I went through that on the last show. It's very similar here. I'm pretty excited about this. I think that it makes it a lot more approachable from a development perspective to start interacting with it. It's consistent, so it's really not changing the programming model much. I think the resolver is the biggest difference.
Sort of minor.
So that's
it.
That's what I got. So this will be released soon, and hope everyone just starts playing with it.
Cool. So. All right. Well, I think everybody knows what's about to happen.
Yeah. It's that moment.
It's that moment before the
tip
of the week.
Before the moment.
Right. The moment before the moment. Well, Thanksgiving just happened?
Yeah, exactly. And so Steve just went to visit family.
I did.
Back east.
I went to Massachusetts.
Pilgrim family. And I think you still do, you still practice a lot of the old ways. You know, you have a turkey farm.
Yep.
And from what I understand, you butchered your turkey and got it all ready for Thanksgiving.
Just ran it down, caught it, yeah. and
Yep.
Did whatever you do.
How long did it take you to catch it?
Hours.
Hours.
We only have the one turkey. The one it's a really big plot
and
of land.
A large lot of land.
And just sort of.
You're not quite as fast as you used to be.
Get the whole family out there, the little kids and everything, and then we just try to find it. But
You don't grease it up ahead of time or anything.
No, no, because we don't know where it is, so we can't really. So Bob, why don't you envision that for us? And here it is, your tip of the week.
It's Thanksgiving Day and we're gathered round. Little children make a joyful sound. There's such good food and there's such great fun. It's a happy Thanksgiving for everyone, except for the turkey. La 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 la. Except for the turkey.
And we're back. All right, so for the tip this week, it's related to the NuGet packages. And it's not necessarily, this isn't specific to Windows Azure, but given that I've been talking a lot about the NuGet packages and we've been highlighting these, there's an error that's crept up quite a bit that I thought I'd finally blog about so that we had some reference to it. We could tell people how to resolve it. So essentially, there's an error that when you go to do install package and then specify the NuGet package, you get this unable to find assembly reference that references that are compatible with the target framework, Silverlight, etc. And it's very cryptic. It doesn't make a whole lot, it's hard to figure out what that means. If you search on it, there's all kinds of things that it could be related to. In every case that I've received this error message, it's because I've just recently set up a machine. I've installed Visual Studio SP1, which I believe is the vehicle for getting the NuGet Package Manager 1.2. And the problem is we're actually building the NuGet packages to 1.5, so when you try to install the NuGet package with 1.2, it kind of throws this cryptic error message. Mm. So if you see this error, don't get too alarmed. Just check to see what version of the NuGet package manager you have. If you have 1.2, just head to nuget.org, install NuGet. It's going to pop you over to the Visual Studio Extensions Gallery, install the latest version
of
NuGet.
Can't you just do it from Visual Studio? If you go to, let's learn something.
If you go
to Tools
and Extension Manager.
If you click Updates on the left, see updates the little accordion?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I installed a NuGet package that required a newer version. And so I just went, and it should show up here under Updates, I think. We haven't tested this out, but.
Maybe a viewer will tell us about it.
So hopefully you can do that, and then you just click the Update button. Yeah. It just happens right in Visual Studio, and it's great.
But you should have version 1.5, and then once you run the same.
You want that anyway. Yeah. You probably just didn't realize you had the old one.
In fact, I think with this version of NuGet, and I could totally be wrong, I think it will proactively let you know if there's updates available.
Yeah,
whereas 1.2 doesn't,
you.
And you have to check. But that's the tip.
Cool.
We've had a lot of little nuggets of tips throughout the show, so we've got a little one at the end that I
a little is. NuGet nugget.
Yes,
at the
NuGet
end.
Nugget at the end.
Okay,
cool.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah,
doing a show.
If you've got comments, questions, ideas you want to share with us, you can reach us at Cloud Cover Show on Twitter, and we'd be happy to dialogue with you. With that,
until next time.
Thanks.